We certainly desire continued interest in your prayers this morning. The time that we endeavor to stand before you today, that the Lord would be pleased to stand with us and stand for us and give us the help and strength that we need to bring forth from His Word. This morning, I want to turn to two expressions in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, to begin with this morning. In the 9th verse, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 9. In my mind's estimation of things, that I have upon my mind this morning is some rather difficult and hard subject matter. I pray the Lord will help us and enable us this morning. You know, there are a lot of misconceptions and a lot of wrong ideas about the Word and concerning the rightly dividing out and understanding about when the Scripture speaks of hypocrites. Now, I don't know why that these things are upon my heart and mind. Of course, a lot of times I don't know the why. The Lord does. But I want to say right off the bat this morning, first and foremost, that I don't believe that one person in here this morning is a hypocrite. I don't believe that. And I believe as we begin to look at some of these things, because I believe it's some things that we need to understand from a Bible perspective. And it will help us in other areas of study in God's Word. So having said that, I've probably got your attention at least for a couple of moments. And I do certainly desire an interest in your prayers. Now here in verse 9 of Proverbs chapter 11, it says, "An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor." Now I want you to notice that and notice the severity of this statement. "An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor." I want to say first and foremost this morning that I believe that the vast majorities of hypocrites as far as concerning religious activity and things around a religious center, these hypocrites, and that the Scriptures will take up, involve the wicked. Now let me say this: I believe that God's people can from time to time act like a hypocrite, can have hypocritical ways. But God will judge us here in time. God will chasten us. God will bring these things to our attention and to help us to discern and to know, especially if we are seeking after God and endeavoring to walk in a way of light and understanding from God's Word. God will help us with these things and help us to work out these weaknesses and different problem areas in our life, and help us to have the correct and right motives while we live here and engage with others and so forth in our lives, and that we do not play the hypocrite. Now, as far as in religious circles, if the wicked are involved, they are always under the classification of hypocrite. God's people are not under that characterization as a general rule from the Scriptures. But God's people can act that way. Just like I've said a lot of times, that sheep can certainly act like goats. Now, this is one of Satan's main tactics and tricks. is to plant the seed and try to cause God's people to feel like that they are hypocrites. This is one of his main coming against the minds, the mindset of God's people, to point out every one of your faults, every one of your weaknesses, every one of your downfalls, every one of your missteps, and to point an accusing finger and try to discourage you, and try his very best with many arrows from without and from within. This is why the scripture says, as we have tried to preach in time past, even over the course of the last few months, above all, taking the shield of faith, that we'd be able to quench all the fiery darts, all of the arrows that Satan shoots against us, fight against the old flesh, the world, the devil, against his tactics. For if the devil can, if he can browbeat you and beat you down and to get you to be discouraged and to try to fill you with fears and doubts and troubles of mind, that you would question your own salvation, that you would question what the Lord has done for you, to question the deliverances that God has blessed you with and brought about in your life, and say, well, you're just an old hypocrite. You're nothing. You're just playing around. Why don't you just give up? Why don't you just quit? Why don't you just go on out here and have your fill of sin? Oh, but dearly beloved, we know better than these things. We know the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. That's what the next expression says. But through knowledge shall the just be delivered. But through knowledge shall the just be delivered. I tell you, there are many, certainly of God's people that are deceived and following after hypocrites, following after the wicked, that play a role in religious activity. We know the Bible warns of those. They were there in Jesus' day. Jesus confronted them many a times, and he spoke of them, and he labeled them in Matthew chapter 3, and Lord willing, we'll turn there. Jesus adequately and in a very singling out manner identified the wicked among the religious leaders of that day, and Jesus labels them as hypocrites. I believe that God's children, as I said, can get caught up in it and can get deceived and can follow after hypocrites if they don't give heed, amen, to this expression. But through knowledge shall the just be delivered. This goes right along with the same thing as Jesus said, that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There is a deliverance. There is a freedom. Amen. There is a setting free. There is a making free in the truth. Amen. Of the knowledge. Amen. Of God and of his word and what the scriptures teach. Amen. Concerning all of these aspects that we need to know and that we need to understand and that we need to look at and to apply and to appreciate. Oh, and to cultivate in our daily lives while we live right here upon the shores of time. We know that the wicked always have a heart of destruction, always out to destroy. I tell you that Satan uses these avenues. You know that Satan himself even transforms himself into an angel of light, amen, whereby to deceive. As you've heard it said many a times, if he came at you with the old pictures, people paint the picture of horns and a forked tail and flaming red and so forth, you'd readily see him and notice him, and you would run and flee. Oh, but no, he comes about in such a way, polished, comes about dressed up and spick and span, and with smooth words and enticing words, and all of these type things, whereby he deceives. The Bible talks about the deceiving of the simple. God help us in that sense, not to be simple-minded, amen, but to have the armor of God and to have the mind of Christ, and let this mind be in you, the mindset, amen, of following after God in the scriptures, and to do the will of God, and to have that front and foremost in our hearts and our minds each and every day. So a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. I tell you, a child of God may speak harsh, but he will feel convicted of that speaking harsh. He will be chastened for that deception and for that type of destruction that would come forth from the mouth. It's easy for us to be in the flesh nature. It's easy for us sometimes to engage in and in the split moment of time for that to erupt out of our carnal nature like a volcano erupting. Oh, but just as soon as it is done, we feel distressed. We can feel convicted. We feel smitten over it. We have that sick, deepening feeling, sinking feeling, whereby we feel like 1,000 pounds of weight upon our shoulders, and we feel ashamed, amen, before God and before a fellow man, before the one that we engaged upon that with. But I tell you, the wicked, wicked hypocrite, they feel no trouble at all at it. They don't feel any troubling. It's sweet as a morsel of cake in their mouth, and they chew it up and swallow it and delight in it, and are ready to engage once again. You know, I've known several different individuals back through the years. I've known particularly, I'm thinking of a young girl many years ago, about 9-10 years old, that got in a state of mind because Satan was attacking in her mind and telling her that she was just a hypocrite, that she wasn't a child of God. And she went through a situation for several months feeling downcast and troubled over that. Well, I want to tell you, the real hypocrite, the real wicked, wicked, they never feel any trouble over it. They never feel any remorse over it. They never feel any conviction over it. I tell you, if you feel convicted over something, if you feel remorseful and repentant over something, well, then rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Amen. Because that's great evidence that your name is written down, amen, in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you're one of the Lord's. Amen. But Satan will magnify your faults and failures and weaknesses, and your missteps, and your down sittings here in this life. He will magnify them to discourage you and to try to bring you down low and endeavor to cause you to become despondent, amen, to the things of God. But we're to know these tactics. We're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, as the scripture teaches us, as the word of God, amen, warns us, amen, concerning these things. But through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Amen. There's great deliverance in knowledge. There's great deliverance in truth. I want to give you an example of that, and I'd like to do that from Acts chapter 15, in those first couple of verses. Amen. Of the truth and the deliverance that there is in the truth. Oh, brother Paul and Barnabas, they knew the truth as it was in Christ Jesus. Amen. The apostle Paul knew the truth about grace. Amen. He was once the Pharisee. He was once there in that that falseness, that rottenness, that works religion, if you please. But dearly beloved, we can see and understand where he had been set free and delivered through knowledge and through truth as it is in Christ Jesus, taught the truth, amen, by God himself, by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Ghost. But you know, there were some folks that didn't know the truth about salvation by grace. Here in Acts chapter 15, it says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." These folks didn't have knowledge. They didn't have understanding. They were trying to mix and mingle Judaism and bring over some things from their past religion. And no doubt they were helped and aided by individuals that didn't care and that had only self in mind. But here, these they came and they taught the brethren and said, "Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputing with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question." Here, Brother Paul and Brother Barnabas, they withstood them. Amen. Here's a deliverance. Amen. Through knowledge, through the truth. Amen. Paul and Barnabas, they knew the truth as it was in Christ Jesus. Dearly beloved, having the knowledge of salvation by grace, solely by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the free gift of God. Amen. It is that work that God and God alone does. It is even the work of God that you believe. Amen. Belief is a work, but initial belief. Amen. It is the work of God that God works in you the ability to believe. There is no belief on your part in regeneration. We're delivered through the knowledge of that truth. We're delivered through understanding about Christ and the finished work of our Lord. Amen. We are delivered through the truth, amen, of temporal things, of the instruction of God's word, amen, concerning spouses and parents and children and employers and employees and citizens and government. Amen. All of these things that the word of God teaches us in the Lord's blessed word. You know, here's the truth, and I just flip right back over there to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Now, brethren, there is a deliverance to you through that knowledge right there. Amen. Oh, that unjust weights and balances. Amen. In other words, far as in the sense of commerce, in the sense of dealing monetarily, God hates an unjust balance. It's all through the Word of God. The Word of God teaches that God is pleased with just balance. In other words, you don't rig up the weight, whatever you're weighing, to be off, and then charge somebody, or don't give enough for whatever it is. If God will judge, as the scripture teaches. But there's a deliverance to us in knowing these things and in implementing these things and continuously feeding ourselves with the scriptures. Amen. With God's precious word. It would be a great detriment if you're in a type of business of weighing things and you continuously weigh things coming up short to cheat people. That would hurt you and hurt your business and hurt your name and honor and glory unto God. That's just one example. This book is filled with examples that we can look at in our lives and in our dealings right here on the shores of time. That's why there's no blessing upon our monetary system in the United States since it left the gold standard. There's nothing to back up the green dollar bill. It's fiat money. It's not worth burning. Only the confidence that we have in it and people around the world have in it, that's the only thing that keeps it going. But other than that, it's fiat money. It's no good. There's nothing behind it. And we know, look at Zimbabwe, that African country, how that they, when they failed many, many years ago and had to, well Germany, when it fell, when their currency had to have a wheelbarrow, a load of their paper money to go down and get a loaf of bread. Brothers and sisters, that which is unjust before God, it won't stand, and it won't stand the test of time. And that's the ruin of a society. That's the ruin of a nation. That's the ruin of a people in a departure from God's word and not to have the just things and to place the importance upon doing that which is just. Amen. In the eyes of God, in the eyes of our fellow man. Now, I didn't know I was going to get on those things. I hadn't planned to say those things. Amen. But I feel in my heart and mind that the Lord directed us in that. And if it offended you, I am sorry. Amen. I do my best. Amen. To try not to get into a whole lot of different things. Amen. But sometimes you've got to just give it examples. Amen. And just be plain with what you are talking about. And for that, I don't apologize. Amen. And I believe that I have the word of God behind me, and the word of God, amen, will back that up. But oh Lord, help us. So we can see that Paul and Barnabas, they had no small argument, grievous discussion with them, for they contended, amen, for salvation by grace and not to add a work to it, and that not to try to bring in circumcision. Now, why was Paul and Barnabas so adamant about this? Because they had already been among Gentiles, and they'd already saw the grace of God, and they'd already saw the working of God. You say, can you see the grace of God? You certainly can. Amen. The Bible says when Barnabas went down to Antioch, that he saw the grace of God. Amen. How do you see the grace of God? You see the manifestation of it. You can't see the wind, but you can see the evidence of it. Amen. And that's what they were doing. They were seeing evidence. And he encouraged them. That's what Barnabas' name means, an encourager. He encouraged them to continue in the grace of God, to be steadfast, to keep on doing what they were doing. And brothers and sisters, that's what we also do from Sunday to Sunday, is endeavor to try to encourage, amen, the church, the brothers and sisters in Christ, to keep on keeping on in the ways of the Lord. Oh, and for us to remember that there's deliverance through knowledge. Oh, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What a great freedom there is in knowledge. So many of God's children in this world, amen, are in bondage. So many are in shackles and chains and need to be loosed, amen, through the gospel. Oh, the truth of the gospel in Christ Jesus, it will liberate, it will set free. It will give encouragement. It will lift up the weak. It will give strength. Want you to notice the expression over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, along that line. The apostle said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 with verse 1, "In this inspiration of the Spirit, this also know that in the last days perilous times shall come." What does verse 5 say? "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Now, when it says denying the power, now in what sense is this word power here? It's in the sense of authority. Amen. Having a form of godliness, but denying the authority of godliness. Having a thorn through the gospel, but denying the authority of the gospel. You know, the Bible teaches us to obey them that have the rule over you in the Lord. You've heard me speak on this. Amen. We are to obey the rule. The rule. Amen. As our article of faith said, we believe the scriptures, the Old and New Testament, they are the word of God and our only rule of faith and practice. Amen. This is our rule. Amen. The Holy Scriptures. Amen. That which God has blessed holy men of God to write and to pin down by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. And is profitable. It's profitable unto God's children. And if we'll have the knowledge of it, and whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. You remember that lesson? Amen. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man that built his house upon the rock. Oh, we want to build upon, amen, the rock Christ Jesus. We want to build upon that sure foundation. And how do we do it? Amen. Through hearing and doing the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but we know as the scriptures teach us, that there would be those in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and starting verse 3, he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, won't endure sound teaching, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Oh, this is the sad plight of God's children when they follow after the way of the hypocrite. Amen. When they follow after the way of the ungodly. When they follow after the way of the wicked, wicked, the sinner. We read some song this morning talking about he divide the sinner from the saint. We know that we're all sinners because we sin. Amen. By omission or commission. We don't do what we ought to do, or we do what we oughtn't to do. But we are not sinners in the sense of the wicked, wicked. Amen. We're not to live in a perverted lifestyle. If we do, God will certainly judge us. He will certainly chasten us right here. For judgment must first begin at the house of God. Well, and certainly that it does. Now, let me turn. You know, this is why it's so important there in Romans 16 and 17 that he said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. A lot of times, even God's children, amen, get in such a way of following after the world, the hypocrite, the ungodly, the wicked, wicked, in such a way to run shipwreck, and to such an extent to even want to cause dissensions and work discord among the brethren. That's what those that came down and was teaching, that they also ought to be circumcised. Oh, and there was no small dissensions. The argument leading to discord among the brethren. Oh, it's always been the wicked, wicked's design to persecute and to afflict the righteous. Amen. God's people certainly have. I've said a lot of times, amen, that Cain has been killing Abel now, amen, for some 6,000 years. Oh, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Why does the righteous have many afflictions? And I don't believe that's talking about natural ailments there. Oh, but it's talking about the afflictions, the hardships, and the vast troubles. These things that are inflicted by the wicked, wicked. Those that are hypocrites. Those that are look good on the outside, but they're filthy inside. Jesus spoke of them, as I said in Matthew chapter 23. We can see those individuals out here in the world to make gain. Whose God is their belly? What do you mean, that word belly there? It's talking about the most inwardness of self. They're agnostic, self-serving and controlling, wanting to control others, wanting to deflect God's people from the truth and to insert destruction and misery upon the Lord's people. Why does the Lord's people have many afflictions? Because there are many wicked. Amen. There are many wicked in this world. Certainly they are. Amen. We can't preach too much grace, and you can't preach too much about God's elect and God's blessed choice, blessings for his people and so forth. But some subject matters a lot of times is probably neglected to the hurt of God's people. Amen. To set forth some things and to rightly in dividing them. But this is why he said, I beseech you, or I beg you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Some folks, when you have labored with them and you have admonished them, and after the first and second admonition, the scripture says to reject them, and that we mark them in that way, and we avoid them. Oh, why? Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It certainly does. We don't want to leaven out the whole lump. We don't want to contaminate the whole lump. We don't want to give an individual the floor and a leadway and a continuance on and on. Yes, we're not to judge anything before the time. Oh, but brothers and sisters, we can be too late in passing righteous judgment. Oh, in accordance with God's word, many sorrows can already be brought about among the flock. You know, the Apostle Paul, he gave that warning, did he not, there in Acts to the brethren there at Ephesus when he passed through. I believe it's Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, we'll find that some of these pages stick together. This, as he came there to the upper to Ephesus to the brethren, when he's on his way to Jerusalem, and as he began to talk with them, starting verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore in yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. There's going to be those hypocrites. There's going to be those wicked that are going to enter in among you, and they're going to look good, and they're going to shine good, and they're going to speak good for a while, but their intent is not to spare the flock. They're going to fleece the flock. Amen. That's what they're going to do. Amen. The Bible speaks against hirelings. Amen. Those that are paid to tend to the sheep. They're not the owner of the sheep, but they're paid to tend to the sheep, and they don't have the heart of the matter at hand. Jesus used that for an example, but Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He was the owner of his sheep. That's why he laid down his life, amen, for the sheep. Yes, there's fame and great gain out here amongst the world, among religious things and religious activity that men will go into to fleece and to continue to try to fleece God's deceived people, that are following after the way of the hypocrite, and they don't have deliverance through the truth because they don't know the truth. Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is not going to make you free unless you know it. Amen. You've got to know it, and you've got to put it into exercise. Amen. In order to do so. Now there are, now we understand there are some folks that are ignorant, and they're willfully ignorant, and they continue on in that ignorance because of tradition, because of biases and prejudices, that they'll stay with something, they'll stay with a certain order of people and so forth because of mom and daddy or grandparents or great-grandparents or whatever. Amen. But remember Jesus' word. You should, in this is how you're going to know the truth, and there's deliverance through the truth. Amen. When Jesus talked about hating mother and father and brother and sister, that's exactly in the context that we're talking about right now, that Jesus was speaking all that, that you have to lay aside those natural relationships and those natural affections and feelings and follow after the Lord. Or if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily. There is a cross, amen, of self-denial, and a cross of sacrifice, and a cross of duty to bear in the Lord's service and being a disciple of Jesus Christ. But many of God's children, they won't do that. Amen. Because they can't lay aside and put aside the biases and the prejudices and the hurdles and the situations and the traditions and the family ties in order to do that. Don't have one thing to do with everlasting heaven. Heaven, immortal glory, or an everlasting punishment. Amen. But it has everything to do in discipleship, everything to do in service to God here, everything to do with your sanity and peace of mind. Amen. Before God. Oh, and I want to tell you that's important. And I never want to belittle that whatsoever, because that's great. That's important. Amen. Because where are we living? We're living in the now. We're here right now. Amen. It's where we are, brothers and sisters. Yes, I love to sing about it, and I love to think about it, and I love to pray about it, and I love to preach about it. Amen. What a glorious time is coming. When we'll be free from all these things, and we'll be gathered on that, amen, shores of sweet deliverance on those sunny banks. But now we're right here in the darkness of this world system. We're right here where there's many sorrows, many darts that pierce our soul from without, within. But thank God we've got a captain, amen, that leads the way, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So just as the Apostle Paul warned them, and he said to them that they would try to draw away disciples after them, he said, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Amen. I've preached to you, he said. I've told you these things. Amen. You remember these things. You watch for this and you remember this. Well, the scripture admonishes us over and over, amen, to watch as well as pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch and praying. We are to be watching. We are to be awake, not lulled to sleep. I tell you, when we get lulled to sleep, when we get separated, amen, that when you're asleep, you're unconscious, you're separated from the things round about you. Oh, yes. Amen. And that's the way it was that Paul told them, those Ephesians, to awake out of their sleep, and Christ, amen, would give them light. They were already alive in Christ Jesus, but some of them were asleep. They were separated, amen, from spiritual things and spiritual activities. They had their eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 32, he said, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Thank God that God's grace is sufficient. He is the God of all grace. Amen. And he builds us up and lifts us up and encourages us. Amen. Through the deliverance in knowing, amen, the truth. Because there's great deliverance. And that's the lesson that Proverbs there in 11 and 9 has given us. But through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Through knowledge. knowledge. So let the wicked, let the hypocrites of this world, and even those in religious circles that are wicked, and even those God's children that are deceived, and many that have believed a lie and are damned right here in this life, that are cursed children. Why? Because they've even denied the things. Oh, they've tasted of the great things of God, but they have not persevered in the ways of the Lord and in the ways of righteousness, and have followed after the wrong leading and the wrong direction for whatever the reason. Oh, and therefore they're in bondage right here. And many of them are leading others of God's children in that way of bondage. I want you to listen. Let's turn there in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23, to the words of Jesus. These are some of the closing out days. These words before the Lord's crucifixion. The Lord spake to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." Now I'm reading this right here because I want to show you something before we get into this. "All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." Now, what did he mean here when he said the scribes and the Pharisees sat in Moses' seat? You know, Moses, under the direction and suggestion of his father-in-law, in which it was great wisdom, he set up a council of judges of 70 particularly. And they evolved through the years. And a court was established whereby to hear matters. Remember, started out there with Jethro saying to Moses of lesser matters that, you know, these people, you're sitting in judgment from morning to night. And there's so much that get some others that can help you and hear lesser matters concerning the things of the law in their dealings with their fellow man, in cases that they have with those that they have dealings with, and there's a dispute, there's a problem there. Let them judge between them. And of course, you know what a great judge that Solomon was, and a great discerner that he was, particularly there in the example about dividing the child up. We all know that narrative as the scripture relates it and gives it, and what great wisdom that he showed forth there. But when Jesus talks about these scribes and Pharisees sitting in Moses' seat, evidently that through the process of hundreds of years, there had been a decline, though, in that, and it come to what's known as the Sanhedrin court, and then which was made up mostly of the scribes and Pharisees, and from time to time Sadducees. And of course, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were great rivals and enemies. But when the Lord says that they sit in Moses' seat, of course the Lord, amen, would use a falsehood to teach a truth. It is the truth that where they sit was in Moses' seat as leaders and discerners and judges among the people. But they had so declined and had used it for profit and for gain, and had waxed worse and worse in that. And so here's where Jesus begins. And he says to them what he's saying: "All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe." The Lord's talking about the things in Moses' law. When Jesus was here on this earth, and even up still at this time, Jesus was obedient to the law, and he had not set aside the Mosaic law. He had not set aside their religious order as of yet. So he was telling them, observe, but don't observe like they're telling you to observe. Yes, you listen to what is being said out of Moses out of the law. That's what it's referring to when it's talking about Moses' seed, talking about the law. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. They were hypocrites. There were many wicked that had got into those ranks. And there were many, though, that were God's children that were deceived by the wicked hypocrites and was falling in the way of hypocrisy. And that's the only way that I see to rightly divide that out. Jesus goes on when he's saying, don't do after their works, for they say and do not. They tell you correctly out of Moses' law, but they're not following after it. You don't do according to their works. You do according to what Moses' law says. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. It goes to motive. It goes to motivation. Jesus goes on through a narrative here. Talks about them wanting to be the greatest. Now God's children can get into that. We understand about even the Lord's disciples and their mother and wanting to exalt them, and one sitting on his right hand, one on his left hand. We know God's children can go down that road of fallacy. But among the wicked hypocrites, they're always wanting a place of greatness. They're always wanting a place of honor. That never changes. That never ceases. They want to be exalted. But you know, the Lord's religion teaches that we humble ourselves. Jesus taught in a lot of places that if we humbled ourselves, he would exalt us. Teaches that if we go into the closet to pray, don't pray like they stand on the street corners to be heard. We're not heard for our loud crying and much speaking. Oh, but it's the sincere desire and crying out to God from the heart. It's not what the tongue can speak. It's not a head knowledge. Amen. But it's heartfelt. And it's the expression that goes out to God. Amen. From the heart. Jesus said in verse 13, but woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Amen. Jesus characterizes them as hypocrites. You know, John the Baptist, he saw those Pharisees coming out. I honestly believe in my heart that the vastness of the number, the ranks of that culture, of that society, of that particular order of men at the time that Jesus came here on this earth, that there were many of them that were wicked, that were hypocrites in the sense as Jesus, amen, is speaking here and teaching from this lesson. And he gives them a woe. He says, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Oh, that are entering to go in. They were always a stumbling block and a stone of stumbling, they themselves were, unto God's children that were seeking after to do the right thing in the ways of the Lord and that would follow the Lord. They were always trying to divert the people from the Lord, Jesus Christ. They wouldn't enter into the kingdom. They wouldn't humble themselves. And of course, as what they were and how they were, we know they of the mindset they had, they weren't going to do that. Amen. Only God's born again children can repent and turn from that with a conviction of the Holy Spirit, seeing the goodness of the Lord. But so many of God's children, their eyes are closed and never opened right here in this life to the spiritual truth and gospel truth and the freedom that it is in Christ Jesus. But they were a hindrance. He said, neither suffer you won't enter in, neither suffer ye them that are entering. In other words, there are those that are in the process of doing the things that they should to enter into the kingdom. We're not talking about heaven and immortal glory. I mean, we're talking about in a way of discipleship, of following the Lord in his kingdom here upon this earth. Then Jesus gives them another woe in verse 14. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. the judgment of God upon them. And of course, we know it'll be an everlasting judgment of God of damnation upon the wicked, wicked hypocrite. Amen. But right here in this life of God's children that are deceived and walking in that hypocritical way and following after the deceptions of men because they do not see and avail themselves or to walk in that light as it is in Christ Jesus, to have that knowledge and have a deliverance. He gives them another woe in verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you can pass sea and land to make one proselyte. Oh, do we not see that among religious leaders? Amen. Having those daughters, you know, that cry out, money, money, cry out, give, give, more and more. Oh, under the pretense of compassing land and sea to make converts, talking about to make people fit to live with God in glory, to be saved, quote unquote, saved from their sins because they've got to do this and that to get to go to them. But yet they devour the widows' houses, take all that they've got, and all of these other things. Ungodly. And Jesus says of them here. Verse 16, he gives another woe unto them. We've got to come on down through here. Verse 23, he gives a woe unto them. Talks about where they omit the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. You know, he's talking about, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Jesus said, you ought to have done that. Yes, you ought to have paid tithes of those things, but you have omitted these things of judgment, of justice, of showing mercy and faith. You ought to have done these things and not to have led the others done. Your blind guides would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Jesus gives them another woe in verse 15. He said, you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. You're just full of yourself. You're full of yourself. And you're all up always trying to see what you can extort, what you can cheat somebody out of. Amen. That's the classification of the wicked, wicked. God's people can fall into that. But that's not the classification of God's people. As we've endeavored to teach there, when Jesus said the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. It is characteristic for God's people to do good. Now, they don't always do good, and they don't always do all the good that they could do, but it's characteristic of that group, amen, to do good. But they that have done evil, is characteristic of the wicked, wicked to do evil. They can't do anything but, and evil in that sense is wickedness. Amen, wickedness. And that's what they do night and day and full of it. And we see it exploding on the scene more and more each and every day as we live right here in this life. Jesus says, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. You know, Jesus also talked about, verse 27, he gives them another woe. Scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like unto whitewashed, these white sepulchres, like unto whitened sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Well, this is the characterization that God is naming of these and their plight. Now, he gives them, verse 29, another woe. Because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, the words, You clean up around the graves the sepulchers of those that your fathers killed, that they martyred. And you say, if we'd have been back there, we wouldn't have done that. We wouldn't have killed the prophets. We wouldn't have killed the righteous holy men that God sent unto us. I want to tell you, the wicked, wicked are forever full of self-justification. Now, I know that can be, as I said, and I'm trying to rightly divide this out. And I know that children of God can walk that in that way from time to time. But God's going to chasten them. Every son that he receiveth, he scourgeth. Because he loves, he chastens. If you're without chastisement, you're not a son, you're a bastard. That's what the scriptures teach. And I'm not teaching that this morning that you have to have perseverance in this life and live in a perfection in order to make heaven immortal glory. Far from it. You folks, brothers and sisters, you know that I don't believe that. Amen. But I just don't believe with any ounce within me that God's children can live comfortably with sin and in sin. I just don't read that in the Bible. Amen. I just don't understand that from the scriptures, that they can live comfortably in that, and that it never bothers them, even the ones that are deceived, even the ones, there's got to be from time to time that they get a little glimpse and that they have a little sense of heart feeling. And yes, you can go in that so long until God draws that line and then be so hardened. To that extent that you would be totally without any spiritual recognition and any fellowship with God. But so Jesus tells them in verse 31, wherefore you be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up in the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents! Listen! Ye serpents! Ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Now, these are pretty plain words, amen, that Jesus uses, and that Jesus uses of them. But I trust this morning, and there's many other things that we could say along this subject matter. We just kind of scratched the surface. But one thing that I would give you to take away from all this morning, as I said in the beginning, that you do not succumb to the devices of Satan of discouragement that would try to overtake you and overshadow you and discourage you and try to compel you to surrender your discipleship here in this life and not to follow the Lord. We read many times in the scriptures where they didn't follow the Lord any longer. They left. You know, as you've heard me say before, one of the saddest verses, Demas, as Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Here was a man that was engaged in ministerial aid with the Apostle Paul and was with him, but left him. Loved this present world. Brothers and sisters, we've got to be careful. We cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices. But thank God to realize that through the acknowledging of the truth, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Listen here, and we'll come to a close. In Psalm 101, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely. In a perfect way. Oh, when will thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Here the psalmist has a desire to walk before God and to walk before his companions in whatever aspect. But before his household, before the people, amen, with a perfect heart. And in do this. In a way, by I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. That's there again back to where the Apostle Paul admonished to mark, and to avoid. If there is one that will not give heed, a forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. What's he mean when he said, I will not know a wicked person? I won't keep company with a wicked person. I won't fellowship a wicked, wicked person. I won't engage with a wicked, wicked person. This is why the Apostle Paul said not to be equally yoked together with an unbeliever, talking about in the sense of marriage. Well, that if one, that it is unbiblical, for a disciple of Christ to take unto them one that manifests to be in that camp of an unbeliever. I will not know a wicked person. I won't fellowship with. I won't have dealings with. Far as in that sense of a closeness of dealings with. Why? Because they can lead you astray. They can influence. This is why he said, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That's why the scripture teaches us to shun the very appearance of evil. We're not to flirt with wickedness. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. This is where we will look to and to have comrades and companions and fellowship with brothers and sisters that are faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Here the psalmist, with these words, and this is ascribed unto David, of how that he would separate and consecrate himself as much as possible unto the Lord and not to be influenced. Oh yes, we live here in this world, and we can't live in a cave, and we can't live exclusively away from all the influence, but we can guard and watch and do all that we can and not invitedly take fire into our bosom, not knowingly to take it unto us. Man, but to be on guard and to watch and pray and to look to the Lord and trust in Him. God bless you, is my prayer this morning.